They're creepy and they're kooky.
Hey there, welcome to Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And we are a married couple who like to shoot the shit about movies.
Snap, snap.
Oh no. Yes, this is another episode of Spooky Month.
Ooh.
Okay, and now after our last two episodes that have been Scotty showing me a spooky movie, I will now be showing him a spooky movie. Scott, what spooky spook movie did we watch today?
Well, today we went and joined the family. An Adams family.
Indeed, indeed. We watched the Addams Family movie released in 1991.
The year of my birth.
Oh, that's true.
Ah.
I was excited to show Scott this movie because I feel like it's a little silly, a little wacky, but unlike Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, it's actually good. So, I'm excited to talk about this because it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I don't know why I've never seen it. I've actually never seen this or the sequel.
I've never seen the sequel either. And I didn't really watch this growing up. I saw it for the first time, I want to say maybe a few years ago. And very much enjoyed it. Enjoyed the vibe. Enjoyed Angelica Houston. I want to be her. I want to become her and live as her for all of eternity. And Mary Gomez Adams as Raul Julia and just be them. I just want us to be them so badly. They're like my favorite part of the whole movie.
They are great.
But there is also a bit of a mystery element to this movie that I do want to get into with Scott, because I feel like I was surprised while watching this movie that, like, it felt like you didn't catch on to the mystery, the resolution that of the mystery that ended up happening. It feels like you didn't catch on to that till later in the movie, if at all. And I was kind of surprised.
Are you talking about how Fester was actually Fester?
Yeah.
Well, I've caught on initially and I thought, oh, it's just going to be, he's going to be actually turn out to be Fester. And then I was like, are they not going to be that he's Fester and he's just going to be embraced by the family? But I'm like, I don't know. I guess I was thinking too hard into the misdirect that I that I was just like, oh, they're trying to misdirect me. So
yeah.
I'm thinking into the misdirect.
Right. You were thinking too hard about it. Thinking they were trying to trick you into tricking you, but really they were just tricking you.
Really, they were showing me the whole time. But
really, they were just being very obvious with what the mystery was going to end up being. And it really wasn't as much about the mystery as it was about just the spooky vibes and the fun silliness of it. In case you didn't know, the Addams Family movie was based on a cartoon and characters created by a man named Charlie Addams. And then there was a live-action television series in the 60s. And it's a very iconic, spooky, scary property. And they made a movie about it. They've made movies since then about it. They most notably recently did a spinoff show called Wednesday on Netflix starring Jenna Ortega. And it was directed by Tim Burton. There was also a musical in the 2010s on Broadway.
What a shock. A horror movie got made into a musical?
Right.
When you're in Addams, you need to really love your wife
several times a day.
You're happy when your toes are in the mud. You smile a bit the moment you smell blood.
Well, that Broadway musical walked, I guess, so Beetlejuice the musical could fly. It's definitely a popular franchise, and what I like about this movie that, like, again, it just seems so, like, simplistic and silly that it's like this really over the top, like, haunted house type family living in just normal everyday world, and it's, they have to interact with just normal everyday people, and in their minds they're totally normal, but in reality they're just complete fucking crazy people and dark as fuck, but we still love them anyway, and it's great.
It's funny because Wednesday has become like the poster child for the Addams Family, I feel like.
Sure.
You wouldn't really guess that from this movie. I think she's more prevalent in the second one.
I think so, yes.
But like, This one, it's really about Raul Julia and Angelica Houston as Gomez and Morticia.
Yeah, they're like the main characters that you really connect with because you just love their relationship and their kind of family unit that they've set up here. The kids, while very talented and they put on a good performance, as well as all the other supporting actors, which we'll definitely get to. I mean, you mainly connect with Morticia and Gomez, as well as Fester, because he kind of drives the plot part of the movie, which is like the treacherous plot, also like the mystery of like, is this really Fester or not? So we'll get into all that. But just some preliminary fun facts, as we always do on here. The film was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who also did most of the cinematography, I think because the original cinematographer dropped out and he's just like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. But this is also Barry Sonnenfeld's directorial debut. He also did the sequel. He did the Men in Black trilogy, Wild Wild West, which is one of Scott's favorite movies. You know, just so it's one of his favorite movies.
Favorite is a long...
Wicked, wicked Wild Wild West.
I like Wild Wild West. I can admit it's a bad movie, but I think it's a fun movie.
Okay.
I can defend that movie.
Okay, that's good for you, I guess, maybe. No, what's interesting is that, as I mentioned, Tim Burton did the Wednesday Netflix series. But strangely and oddly enough, he was also considered to direct this movie. It seems very on brand for him. But he, I think, went on to do Batman Returns instead of doing this. Which, again, I guess makes sense because he was already kind of committed to that franchise.
I guess.
I've never seen it, so I don't know if it's quality, nor do I know the original Batman's quality. Those are the two Tim Burton movies I have yet to see.
Well, we will do Batman at some point.
I'm sure we will. But the movie, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to really do this movie, is because it was written by a man named Larry Wilson, who was behind Beetlejuice, which we also did a review of on the show, but it was also co-written by Caroline Thompson.
Ooh.
Who I love to include female writers and directors on this show when I can. It's hard, but I try. I really do. But she was behind such films as Edward Scissorhands, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and another movie we did on this show, Homeward Bound.
Ah. That movie seems to stand out with the other three.
Yes, but it's fine.
It's just like, oh, wow, Edward Scissorhands, Addams
yes,
Family.
Spooky vibes, and then Homeward Bound.
Okay.
It's like me. I love a good spooky tale, and then I also love puppies, so leave me alone. But the budget for this movie was $30 million, okay? And it made a whopping $191.5 million at the box office. So there's definitely a reason it got a sequel. It's got a lot of reasons for it to be easily cringy and like not really work. But I feel like the commitment of the actors really kind of gets you into it and just helps you accept this world for what it is. And helps you accept this family for what it is and just like go along the journey with them.
I think when you think about like this, things like the monsters and that type of like concept with like the spooky family that lives in like everyday life.
Right. Fish out of water type stuff. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard, I think, for audiences to accept that. And that's kind of why some of these movies, even though they're fun movies,
uh-huh.
make it more of a middling score.
Maybe, yeah.
Because some people just can't, they fully can't buy in.
They can't fully buy into like the childishness of it. However, I would say that this is different for me than like a just straight fish out of water thing. They're not really trying to adjust to normal life. It's like a lot of fish out of water. It's like, oh, this, you know, this character is from another world or from another time, let's say, and they have to adjust to normal life in the present day. And it's like they're not really trying to adjust their way of life. They're just living their fucking lives, and most of the humor either comes from like their great dialogue with each other and their vibes among the family, and then when they come to interacting with other people outside of the family, it's mostly just the other people's reaction to them. It's not really them trying to like assimilate.
No,
it's not like that in a fish out of water sense.
It's kind of the reverse of the straight man, because they don't change. The straight man doesn't react to the humor of the situation. So everyone reacts to them, but they stay completely straight with it.
Yes, they commit. They are very committed to their way of life and their, like, fucking down to clown. the way they establish themselves too in the movie and like give you little peeks into their family history and their way of life, you just want to know more about them because they're so fucking fascinating. And the writing that they give this family and these actors that are in the Addams Family is just so fucking good. Like, we're gonna talk about it. It's really great.
There's a point where Angelica Houston is kind of going over some of the history of some of the family members. And I sat there and I go, whose family's the more weird one? Is it Morticia's or is it Gomez's?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where did these families... I would love somebody somewhere to give me like a history of like the backstory of the Addams Family.
Yeah,
and how
like
it
the
got
family
here.
Tree. yeah, we're going to talk about Angelica Houston. Like, she's just a fucking queen in this movie. Like, I can't get over it. But speaking of the film being cringy, despite the fact that it received an Oscar nomination for Best Costume Design, it also won a Razzie Award for Worst Original Song. And that would be the Addams Groove.
Oh, is that the rap song at the end?
Yeah, they teased it a couple of times throughout the movie, I think. But it was in the end credits, and it was performed by MC Hammer in 1991. So, yeah, that's where we're at. It's a song that exists. Don't worry. I'm sure we'll definitely not play a clip of it right now. They do what they want to do, say what they want to say, live how they want to live, play how they want to play, dance how they want to dance, kick and they stop a friend.
It doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. I don't think if I even listened to this like 10, 12, 13 times, I don't think I would ever be like, this works in this world.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't. But at the end of the day, I think it's just like, oh, this is a kids movie, so we'll get like a silly rap version of the Addams Family fucking theme and put it in there. I don't know. It's 90s. But I will say before we get into this, I feel like out of the two, not to brag on myself or downplay Scott's contributions to the show, because we know we love our Scotty boy and we know we love his great choice of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes as our first spoopy movie. I feel like rewatching Addams Family and watching Scott watch it for the first time and getting such a kick out of it and like really feeling the Halloween-y vibes, like out of all the ones we've watched so far for Spooky Month, I feel like this is the one that so far has like gotten me the most in the Halloween-y spirit.
Well, yeah. Well, you got to think of the last two movies we've done. Again, you got Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and you got Friday the 13th.
Right.
Like, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is a dumb movie. It's yes. a dumb movie, but I kind of like the connection with we did a bad movie month. We kind of
yes,
flowed
no,
in.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not judging your choices. I'm just saying I'm feeling the Halloween-y vibe.
This is more of a Halloween-y movie.
This is a family picture.
Honestly, this movie and Hocus Pocus would be a great double feature.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be fun. So are you ready to get into the nitty and the gritty, Scotty?
Ba-da-da-dum.
Duh, duh.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Duh.
Yes.
Yay, okay. You're not even gonna finish it? Okay. So, strangely enough, in this Halloween picture, we start off with sort of a cold open introducing us to the family with our opening credits with Christmas carolers.
Yeah.
That kind of threw you off a little bit.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. This is a Halloween movie. What is this?
What is this nonsense? Yeah, they start with like the Christmas carolers. I'm like,
at the Addams Family castle.
And then the Addams Family dumps
boiling water on them,
I guess.
As the Addams Family theme song plays over it and we get the opening credits. It's definitely a way of introducing what we're getting into here.
Yeah. They do things like this, like the dumping of the boiling water. At one point, Pugsley steals the stop sign from the road.
Oh my God, yeah. And they're at that kitchen table, all of them like eating breakfast or whatever, and they're just like listening. Like, you know how like families will be like, ah, oh, the birds singing. Oh, it's so beautiful. No, they're listening to like a car crash outside. And the dad's like, good job, Pugsley.
I'm like, wow, the Addams Family's kind of fucked up.
So after we get our opening credits, we introduce ourselves to the Addams Family. Da-da-da-da.
Dun, dun.
So let's just go from the top here. So we meet our main couple, our main squeezes here, Morticia and Gomez Adams, who, if you know anything about this movie, I feel like you would know that these two are like couple goals for the whole fucking movie.
They're iconic.
They're just so fucking good.
And that's the thing about like redoing this property. And this might be also another reason why they focus more on Wednesday, because she's kind of an easier character
to mold. Like, yeah.
These two nailed it. Not, no offense to Luis Guzman, and I forgot who plays Morticia.
Catherine
Zeta-Jones in the new one. These two nailed it.
Yeah, they have such a chemistry together. That's just like lightning in a bottle. It really, really is. Like, they're just, they say the craziest shit to each other, and it's so hot.
Well, it's
it's so hot, and it's, you just get like such a vibe from them, because you know they've been married for like a bajillion years, and yet they're still so hot for each other. It's so great. Like, the first line you hear from Gomez is like, he walks in the bedroom and Morticia's in bed sleeping, and he's like, oh,
look at her. I would die for her. I would kill for her. Either way, what bliss.
We've done a lot of movies. A ton of movies on this show. And I have a hard time thinking of any couple or a future couple that has a chemistry as good as these two.
They really do. They have great chemistry together. Because I feel like if performed by two other actors, the extremeness and the darkness of some of the lines they say to each other, and like just in general, like you have to have that perfect balance of like the darkness and also the silliness, but also it has to be grounded in that realism and that chemistry to make it sound believable. It all comes together so perfectly. Now, Morticia is played by Angelica Houston, as I mentioned. She's fucking dope as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
She's a Wes Anderson regular. She's been in quite a few Wes Anderson films. She was also the evil stepmother in Ever After. She was more recently in the John Wick franchise. For this movie, though, she was nominated for a Golden Globe, but lost. Now, I wasn't a purveyor of... Actually, I wasn't even alive in 1991, but I certainly wasn't a purveyor of awards season Michigas back then. But Angelica Houston unfortunately lost the Golden Globe to Bette Midler for a movie called For the Boys. Now, I was doing a little research just to try to understand, because I'd never heard of that movie. I'm like, how the fuck did Angelica Houston lose? Because she did so fucking amazing in this movie. And the movie For the Boys, Bette Midler plays a USO performer in World War II. So it's a World War II movie, award season, Michigas. That's the only reason that I can truly think of. Because, again, never heard of that fucking movie, but, like, this performance is so iconic still to this day.
Yeah, of course.
In pop culture. Like, how did she not get this?
Well, again,
her commitment is unmatched in this fucking movie. Like, it's great.
You are 100% right, but you answered your own question with, like, award season type movie.
Of course.
That
eventually
fades into the background and no one gives a shit about it afterwards.
Right. I feel like nowadays, performances like this would be more respected in award season times. Like, for example, we're talking about, and obviously it's kind of early, but right now we're talking about Ryan Gosling being nominated for an Oscar potentially for his performance of Ken in the Barbie movie. I feel like, you know, 10, 20 years ago, no one would be fucking talking about that, because it's like, it's a great performance, don't get me wrong. I love some Ryan Gosling. He did great in the movie, but it's a silly performance. It's a very well done silly performance, but it's a silly comedic performance. I feel like comedic performances aren't often as respected.
Well, no, of course.
And they're still not completely, but it's better than it used to be.
Well, of course not. They're not as respected. But also, I think it also depends on the year they are coming out. This is, again, a sidebar. But I don't feel like this year of 2023 is a strong movie year right now.
I don't know. It's still pretty early. There's a lot of buzz going around, dear.
There is, but...
You're not the Oscar queen that I am, sir. You gotta, like...
That's true.
Hold your horses there.
That is true, but, like... For us to be still like Oppenheimer and Barbie are still like really high up.
Well,
I feel
that's, like, yeah, that's true.
I feel like normally those,
but it's not technically Oscar season yet. We're getting there with like certain movies that are coming out, and it's getting to the end of the year, so it's gonna soon be that time where we're gonna be consumed with Oscar movies. But not yet. Right now, it's spooky time for spooky movies.
Yes.
So moving on to Gomez, who is Morticia's paramour. And he is played by Raul Julia. Now, I only know Raul Julia, and I feel like most people only know him for this and Street Fighter.
Of course!
Because unfortunately, he passed away from stomach cancer in 1994. So it's incredibly unfortunate when you watch this. You're like, you just want to take a fucking bite out of this guy. He's so... Just his performance is electric in this movie.
Oh, his performance, even in Street Fighter, is... Street Fighter is a ridiculous movie, but he gives a great performance in Street Fighter because he's actually... He buys into everything.
Yeah, I feel like it's similar to this because, again, the premise is so silly. It's so easy to just kind of just be silly and like, you know? But I feel like a big reason why this movie works is because everybody committed to the reality of the situation as opposed to kind of leaning more into the silliness of it. You know, he was committing to being this suave, like dark and mysterious guy. But he also has a very jovial, like playful side to him, Gomez. It's just great. I don't know how else to phrase this other than it's great. I feel like this movie is so unique because it so very easily could have gone wrong.
Oh, yeah. You cast anybody else in these two roles.
Because they're really the heart of the family. So if they don't work and you don't believe them, yeah, then everyone else kind of falls apart.
So we also have the two children.
Yes, we get Pugsley and Wednesday, of course. So Wednesday's played by Christina Ricci. She was 11 years old at the time of the film's release. She actually was in the Wednesday Netflix show as, I think, the villain in that show. And 5 years after this, she did Casper, which we all know and sort of kind of love.
Sort of.
It's a 90s movie that we all grew up with as 90s kids. And looking back, it's not as good as we thought it was. But hey, it's a thing that exists.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
well, I feel like this also helped propel Christina Ricci into that dark kind of...
Oh, yeah. She had kind of like a Winona Ryder-esque trajectory in her career, I feel like.
Yes, indeed.
Now, Pugsley, who is, I believe, the younger brother, he's also the same age as Christina Ricci. But he's played by Jimmy Workman. Unfortunately, he hasn't acted at all since 2005, but yeah, he didn't really like have a lot to do in this movie. I feel like the kids really didn't have as much to do. They were just kind of there to be generally creepy. They had like a couple moments as siblings where they're doing crazy shit to each other. Like there's one point where Christina Ricci puts Jimmy Workman in an electric chair. And, you know, she's like, I'm going to kill you. And then Morticia comes in. And she's like, children, what are you doing? We have to go to the charity event. We can't. We don't have time to electrocute the child.
And then like, ma. And then she's like, yeah, okay, fine.
Exactly. It's like, it's that kind of humor, but it's really cute.
Pugsley kind of feels like an afterthought a bit.
He is. Wednesday at least has a somewhat minor role in the plot. But I think the two of them work together really well as far as like the little bits that they do have together. They have, we're going to get to it when we get to it, but there's this one whole sequence when they go to the kids' school that is just really like one of the highlights of the movie. But to round off the family here, we meet Lurch, who is kind of their butler of sorts, their man of the house, their...
Frankenstein.
No, well, yes, but their... Jeffrey from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And he's played by Carol Struycken. He is this very tall, lanky looking man. He was the giant in Twin Peaks. He's often that character actor that plays the creepy, overwhelming villainy type character.
It's funny because I think he's in the original Men in Black.
He is. And then last but not least, we have Thing, who is just a disembodied hand kind of crawling around with the good, sometimes jarring use of CGI. But we'll talk about that, I guess, as we move along. I guess it's just like sometimes it works fine and then other times they hold on Thing to a little too long. They have him do a little too much, like jumping and shit, and it looks weird. But it's fine. And he is played by Christopher Hart, who almost always does roles involving like a disembodied hand.
I'm pretty sure he's in Idle Hands.
Yes, he is. And Christopher Hart was also a magician. So I guess he was very accustomed to using his hands and doing over-the-top movements with them. And hey, he did a good job. So, I mean, can't fault the guy. But yeah, as far as the family, I think we got everybody. Lurch is packing the kids' lunch and getting them off to school. Gomez is talking to Thing, and he walks by his brother's old bedroom that's all dusty and abandoned, and he kind of talks sadly about his older brother Fester that hasn't been back in the house, and he hasn't spoken to him in about 25 years because they had a falling out. And we just kind of quickly get thrown into the middle of this family's everyday life. We meet Gomez's lawyer, Tully Alford, and his wife, Margaret. He's played by Dan Hedaya, who Scott didn't recognize the name, but he's like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, yes, you do. He played the dad in Clueless. He also played Bette Midler's cheating husband in First Wives Club. I know Scott hasn't seen that, but that's a good fucking movie, too. So, yeah, he's definitely a character actor that's been around the block.
Yeah.
And then, Margaret's also played by Dana Ivey, who's a character actress that's been around the block a few times as well. She played the female, like, desk clerk in Home Alone 2 at the hotel.
Ah. Oh, yeah. I do recognize that.
So, she's been around, too. And basically, Tully owes a lot of money to this loan shark slash straight up con woman that we'll meet later, and he asks Gomez for money kind of in a shady way. He's like, oh, we'll put it in a trust for your brother, you know, if he ever comes back we can just, you know, save some money for your brother, blah blah blah, I don't know. And then Gomez is like, nah, I don't want to do that. So Tully's like pissed off, and then he goes to meet with this con woman named Abigail Craven. And she basically is strong-arming him to giving her the money that he owes her.
Yes.
And she's strong-arming him with the help of her adopted son, Gordon, who's played by Christopher Lloyd.
He is. And they concoct this scheme.
Yes, because Tully immediately kind of realizes, because he's worked for Gomez for a long time, he knows what Fester, his brother Fester, looks like, and he's like, hey, this guy Gordon kind of looks like Fester, maybe you could like infiltrate the family and then you could break into their secret fancy schmancy money vault, because they have a bajillion dollars apparently for some reason, old money. So they concoct this scheme to like infiltrate the family and steal all their money.
Christopher Lloyd here, I have to admit, he looks almost unrecognizable. If it wasn't for his voice, you wouldn't know it was Christopher Lloyd just by the way he looks.
Right. He's got this hulking, like, he looks like he's wearing football pads. Like, he's got a completely bald head and dark circles around his eyes. Like, he looks straight out of, like, a fucking coffin. But apparently, every year, the Addams family has this family seance for Fester, because they don't actually know if he's alive or dead. So they're like, let's do a seance and try to commune with Fester and see if he'll come home or let us know what happened to him. So they're doing this seance, and all of a sudden, this guy that looks like Fester, who's the fake Fester, you know, well, he shows up at the door and it's Fester. Fester's back.
And he's immediately, like, accepted into the family for the most part.
Yes, and we also have Abigail posing as, like, a psychiatrist. And she basically says, oh, well, you know, Fester, he got lost in the Bermuda Triangle. And I found him and helped him with his psychological problems that he suffered while being trapped there in the Bermuda Triangle. And, you know, the family just accepts this, I guess.
Well, again, weird. This is a weird family. The only person who doesn't truly accept it seems to be Wednesday.
Yeah, well, because she's an expert in the Bermuda Triangle, so she immediately, like, thinks something might be wonky. But Gomez and Fester bond pretty immediately.
Well, it's so funny, because we get the constant play of, like, Gomez trying to be like, oh, old chap, let's talk about our past. And
right. And well, he starts to suspect after a little bit that maybe this isn't really Fester also, because he's like testing him and stuff.
But even still, they have some good funny moments of going back and forth with each other. It's playful. It's funny. Eventually, Fester does stumble upon the gold.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because there's all these like traps and secret doors in the house and shit like that. So they're in the secret like lair or whatever that they used to hang out in as kids, and then all of a sudden Fester's making a drink and he like pops the cork and then it turns into a fucking vault filled with like gold coins and doubloons and stuff. And it's like, oh my God.
It's funny because I was sitting there thinking about it. Their house is like a rundown shack that's alive.
I mean, it's more than a shack. It's like a fucking old castle, like gothic.
Yeah, but you know, it looks
it's
like
very spooky-ooky, but
if you looked at it from the outside as a kid, you'd be like, yeah, that's the haunted house. That's the scary, broken down house. But there's like a whole fucking gondola lake underneath the house plus this giant vault. I'm like, how rich do you think Gomez actually is? Like, they have to be billionaires.
Old money. They also have kind of a funny joke that like Fester and Gomez, their fallout was because of women, essentially. Like, Fester was really good with women and he was actually kind of courting these twins that you later find out are conjoined twins, which is kind of weird. But then, yeah, Gomez, who was, by the way, like, Raul Julia plays this so suave and debonair, and he's like, oh yes, I was so jealous of you, Fester, even though you look like a baked potato that's been sitting out in the sun for 10 years. I was so jealous because you were so good with the ladies that I stole the girls from out from under you, and you were mad at me, and you stormed off.
It's definitely funny because, yeah, if you looked at these two, you would never imagine that Fester's, like, the player, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
Because even when these two conjoined twins come back into the plot, they're, like, kissing all up on Fester.
Yeah, but as time goes on, every person in the family, Morticia, Gomez, even the kids, they're becoming more suspicious of this Fester gentleman. Like, and we see, like, the first real appearance of Morticia Adams' mama bear. This is like peak mama bear behavior, and I love it so much. So she basically takes fake Fester outside and she's like, walk with me, Fester, in that like calm, demure voice. Walk with me, Fester. And she's like going through the cemetery in their backyard, because of course they have a cemetery in their backyard. And she's like showing them all of their ancestors that have passed away, how the Adams family have always been misunderstood and persecuted and, you know, whatever in the past. And people that fuck with them, they usually have problems. So yes. She's basically telling this Fester fucker, like, listen, I don't know what's going on here, but if you fuck with my family, I'm going to fuck you up.
Oh, yeah.
But she says it in a very calm and demure and chill way, which is all the more scary for Fester and for the audience, I think.
And our credo, sic gorgiamus allos subjectatus nunc, we gladly feast on those who would subdue us. Not just pretty words.
Immediately, like, the doctor is like, oh, I have to convince them that Fester is Fester. And that it's just this placement disorder for Gomez.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
And this Raul Julia, he's a fake, a fraud. He's like yelling. And it's so funny. This is where I started turning with the Fester thing. Because at this point, you're like, okay, he's fake. He's blah, blah, blah. But then he starts interacting with the kids and teaching the kids how to like create bombs.
Yeah, the kids have to do this presentation for school. It's like a Shakespeare thing, and they're doing like a sword fight, and they're doing a whole scene on stage. And Fester is helping them with certain aspects of the performance, blood and guts and gore and stuff, and it's really cool and fucked up also at the same time, which is basically the Addams Family. And he just becomes slowly very attached to them, and the kids become attached to him.
Yeah, this is why I was questioning, like, is he just going to become Fester, or is he Fester, or what are we doing with this character a little bit?
So the kids have this play, right, and they all go to the school, and they want Fester to come, but Abigail is like, no, you have to stay here in the house and rob the house while everybody's out, and then we can steal their money and go, which is already a problem, because Fester already tried to get back into the vault and sneak in there by himself, and he couldn't do it because he forgot, like, there's all these different levers to get in, and then you gotta do this code and combine. He doesn't remember shit, so he keeps fucking up. But either way, Fester ultimately feels guilty, so he decides he's gonna go to the school anyway. And we get this school sequence of the movie, and it's just so fucking funny, man. It's like the best part, one of the best parts of the movie. So we start off with Wednesday's teacher talking to Morticia, and she's like, you know, I wanted to talk to you about Wednesday. You know, all the kids, they did these projects about people they admire. Little Timmy did a presentation about the president, and so-and-so did something about this great leader person. And Morticia's like, have you spoken to their parents? And then they go to Wednesday's project, and it's about one of their ancestors
who was like burned at the stake in like 1707
for being a witch.
They say she danced naked in the town square and enslaved a minister.
Really?
Oh yes. Don't worry, we've told Wednesday, college first.
And you sit there
and the teacher's like, okay.
Well, you sit there, you laugh at it, and you're like, what do you mean by
that? What do you mean college first? College before what? Before she engages in witchcraft? Like, what do you mean?
Morticia, explain this to me. But we get to this Shakespearean duel.
Well, we have to talk about the previous performance. So if you've ever been to like an elementary school performance type situation, they start off the whole night with a performance of like a bunch of elementary school kids in like little flower costumes, and they're singing a stupid little song, and it's so cute, and everyone, all the adults, are like getting a real kick out of it, watching their kids, you know, sing terribly and dance around in little flower outfits. And the Addams Family looks miserable.
Well, yeah, because let's face it, when you go to this show to be like, oh, I'm supporting my kid, but like, they're terrible.
I mean, yeah, but like,
they're awful. They are one of the worst things to sit through, and you debate about, can I jump out this window without anyone seeing
me? Sure, sure. I can't wait for us to have kids. So, and then after that, there's a performance of just Pugsley and Wednesday doing this like Shakespearean battle scene, and it's like very clear, I'm just picturing myself as their teacher, it's very clear that Pugsley and or Wednesday went to their teacher and was like, listen, we don't really want to do this, can we just do our own thing so we don't have to engage in this flowery nonsense? And the teacher, who probably at that point is so fed up with their weird shit, they're just like, fine, just go in the corner and do your own thing, I don't care, I don't want to deal I can't deal with you. Yeah, they get on stage and they're doing this Shakespearean duel scene. They both have rapiers and they're slashing and dashing, and then all of a sudden
Pugsley slashes into Wednesday, who starts spurting blood.
Oh my god, it's great.
Into the audience.
Fake blood.
She then cuts off his arm, a fake arm.
Yes.
And he starts
we have to clarify that for this movie.
We do. He starts spurting blood, then he fake cuts her at the throat, and she again starts spurting more blood into the audience,
just like
it is the ultimate splatter zone.
It's great. And then everyone's covered in blood and just completely dead silent in shock. And then all of a sudden, as if on cue, you see, and it's not like a surprising reaction from the Addams Family, but it's still fucking funny. They get up on their feet and clapping and so excited. Yay! And it's fucking funny, man.
Oh, it's hysterical. And I also joked to Frankie, I'm looking at the stage, I'm like, that janitor at the end of the night is going to be furious.
He's going to kill those kids. But I think some of the best stuff in the movie is when they are really placed in the thick of just normal, like, everyday humdrum people, and they're just unapologetically themselves, and everyone else is just, it's not even like over the top reactions, it's just like they feel just awkward and uncomfortable around them.
Oh yeah, they have a charity scene.
Yeah, they have an auction, a charity auction,
where Gomez and Morticia start betting against each other.
Yeah, for their own item, by the way, their own item that they contributed to the auction. It comes up and then they start bidding, and they just turn to each other and are outbidding each other. And they just keep, like, it's very sexual for some reason. And then they
start making out to the audience.
They just start fucking, presumably, in the middle of the fucking charity event. And it's so funny. Like, the more bids they go up, the more, like, intense sexual noises are. It's really funny.
and everyone's
just like, what the fuck are they doing?
What do you do at that point? Like, if you're in that audience, you're like, do I say something?
They're fucking hot. I'm sorry. They're so hot.
Of course they
are. You just want to be them so bad. I know I said that already, but like, they're just like so fucking cute, but also, again, hot.
Oh, God. It's so funny.
So after all the craziness that happened at the school, you know, Fester is really becoming, I mean, fake Fester, totally fake Fester. He's become really ingratiated with this family and he feels so accepted and loved. And then he remembers, oh, yeah, I have this mom. I forgot about her. And she's like pissed because she basically got locked out of the house when she was going to try and steal everything because Fester decided to go to the school play.
Yeah, she did get attacked by plants, Evil Dead style.
Yeah, it's very Evil Dead, Little Shop style. So the next day, the mom's like, oh, you know, Fester, he has to leave because he has to continue his psychological treatment or whatever the fuck. So Gomez is just like, oh, we must throw you a party. The best party ever for my big brother because we are friends and family again and we must throw a huge party.
Yes, exactly.
So the party is lavish and beautiful and amazing. And the conjoined twins show up and they make out with Fester. And then at the end of the night, they go back to the mental asylum from whence they came.
Yes.
Also, which is totally not weird. And then again, Abigail wants to rob the vault while the party's going on, but Fester's just having too good of a time dancing with his totally not brother. They have this whole dance sequence.
The mamushka.
Yeah. I mean, Gomez fucking kills this. Even Fester kills it. And this is the point I feel like Scott was very vocal about his, like, what the fuckery, because he's like, how does Fester know this dance if he's not Fester? Like, what the fuck? He knows all the moves to this dance that they've supposedly done since they were children.
Well, yeah, exactly, because you're like, wait a second. Fester knows every step, every sword throw and catching the sword in his mouth. And you're like, wait, is Fester actually Fester?
But later on in the night, Fester/Gordon is talking to his mother and they're talking about their plan to steal from the vault. But Fester's kind of like hesitant, but he's like, okay, fine, yes, we'll steal, blah blah blah, and we'll get out of here. And then Wednesday happens to overhear them, and the mom, Abigail, chases her out. Fester chases after her, but she ends up hiding in the cemetery for like pretty much the whole night. And then meanwhile, while all that's going on, Tully is at this party as well. And Tully discovers that Fester is actually the older brother, so therefore he is the executor of the Adams family estate. Therefore the house is technically his. So he goes to the mom and he's like, I have a plan B here, so just hold on, let me figure this out.
And while all that's going on, one of the best little side jokes is Tully's wife is fucking leaving him for Cousin It.
Yeah, Cousin It shows up in this movie, and you root for Tully's wife to leave her shitty husband.
For Cousin It.
Uh-huh. It's very strange. But, yeah, so Tully apparently went next door to talk to the neighbor of the Addams family, who there was also a running gag throughout the movie that Gomez multiple times will be out on his deck and hit golf balls over into the window of their neighbor's house, and he's always coming out like, damn you, Adams family.
Which, okay, property damage would be a thing.
Well, yeah, but he's fucking filthy rich. Gomez doesn't care.
Oh, Gomez doesn't care, but I feel like after a while, like, you probably could be like,
well, I'm surprised that never happened.
Like, he could get arrested probably for, like, malicious intent or something.
Right, sure. Because, we find out that neighbor is actually a judge.
Yes.
So it's like, why was nothing ever done about this before? I don't know, but Tully apparently goes over to the judge's house and he's like, hey, you want to get the Adams family out of your hair for good? So, yeah, he enacts a restraining order to ban the family, minus Fester, of course, from the house. And Tully like seals off the house and like says you guys can't come back in because Fester is angry at you. When he saw the twins again at the house, all of the bad feelings about between you and your brother came up again, and now he doesn't want you in the house anymore.
I want to give Christopher Lloyd some credit here.
Okay,
just in general,
we love Christopher Lloyd.
We do love Christopher Lloyd, but I feel like his performance, because everyone else's performance is so big,
mm-hmm.
like, he gets a little overshadowed because...
I think his performance is pretty over the top at times,
too. It is,
too.
But the...
Just
the
his
subtle,
appearance,
the
I think.
Well, yeah, it's the appearance. But I feel like the subtlety of when he's, like, just with the Addams family, especially around now, he feels like he's so much more, like, accepted and open. And then when his, like, mother reappears... He immediately goes back to being like a sniveling like coward, and it's just I feel like it's such a good performance from him of like opening up but also regressing back.
And then of course, you know, we have the typical ending to that sort of plot line where he finally stands up to his mother, blah blah blah, but we're not just there yet. So right now, our Addams family lovelies are at their lowest point, pretty much. They are thrusted into the real world. They have to live in a motel. We have this sort of funny bunch of little scenes where they're trying to get real jobs. Like, Thing is going to try and be a courier, which was kind of cute. And then we get the kids selling lemonade spiked with fucking, like, cyanide or some shit.
Yeah, it's
some sort of chemicals. I don't know. It's fine. That's totally normal.
Mortis is trying to be, like...
A pre-K teacher. And traumatizes all the little children.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the room across the hall going, it's not a tumor!
Yes.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.
These kids are fucked. You also feel like Gomez...
Oh, yeah. He's completely devolving.
He's defeated, and Morticia knows, like, he's not himself because she sees that he's just so hurt by what Fester did here.
Mm-hmm.
He's hurt, and...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another reason why this movie works, is because it's not just based on, like, the bits, right? There's actually a heart underneath it all, not just through Morticia and Gomez's relationship, but just the family in general, like, the familial bond that they have. Back when I was talking about Morticia being a mama bear, which we'll definitely get to again in a second, but like, there's that if you fuck with my family I'll fucking kill you kind of vibe underlying pretty much everybody in the family. Like, the kids are very, you know, protective of their unit. Gomez is protective of Morticia, and Morticia of Gomez and the kids. It's just, it's all very tight.
I think that's also because if you think about this family's history, like, they have to be. They play up like, oh, they're silly, they're goofy. They might be a little...
They're creepy and they're kooky.
Exactly. But they know somewhere in the back of their head that maybe society doesn't accept them
right.
as they are.
But I think they don't care, really. They kind of just are unapologetically themselves.
Well, no, they are unapologetically themselves, but they still have to be protective of their unit.
Right. So... throughout this whole bunch of sequences with the Addams family trying to get their bearings, we have Abigail, fake Fester, quote unquote, and Tully all trying to get into this fucking vault, and they can't do it. No matter what they try to do, they can't get in.
And Fester is also looking quite depressed.
Oh, yeah, of course, because he finally found a bunch of people that accepted him and loved him, and then he had to, like, fuck them all over. So he's depressed too. But we have this sort of somber scene with the Addams family where all the kids are sleeping, Gomez is sleeping, and Morticia is staying up and just kind of like looking around, and she's just kind of sad and she's like upset for her family. So she's like, I'm going to go over there, Mama Bear style, and fucking fix this shit. And that's what she goes to do. She goes over to the house, and the way she walks out of the motel to go to the Addams house, it's like, it gives me very Mars Attacks vibe with that creepy alien lady.
Yeah.
Just like the weird walk that she does.
Yeah, it's a little ghoulish.
Yeah, indeed.
But she is immediately taken, and they try to torture her.
But she's just into it. Which is like, of course.
But Thing is like, oh God, I have to go get Gomez.
Yeah. Thing is trying to weave his way through traffic, and the CGI is a little wonky, but like, it's okay. It still works. It's kind of cute. So he gets back to the motel to talk to Gomez, and...
Oh my God, this joke here.
It's great. It's a great joke.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Because he's trying to sign to Gomez initially, And Gomez gets...
He's like, stop going so fast, you're stuttering.
And I laugh so hard because that's so funny that, oh, the sign language is a stutter. It's so
But then he finally does Morse code and lets Gomez know that Morticia is at the house and she's in trouble. And what's great about this moment is as soon as Gomez hears that his woman is in trouble, right? He goes from like a fucking depressed, scraggly mess and he gets to the house and he's this suave, debonair fucking king again with his sword and he's fighting Tully and it's so fucking great. And then, of course, Abigail unfortunately holds a gun on him and she's like, okay, go over to the vault and take Fester into the vault. And he just goes up to Morticia, who's at this point, like, strapped to this torture wheel, right? And he's like,
Tish, seeing you like this, my blood boils.
As does mine.
This wheel of pain.
Our wheel.
Like, ooh, baby.
They're so funny.
Just make out. It's so fucking funny, but so, again, so weirdly hot. And it's like, I have to go. But...
but Gordon / fake Fester's like, you know what? This is the time. I'm going to turn.
Yes, this is Fester's moment of truth.
So he pulls a book from the Addams Family Library. And we learned earlier that these books are magical.
Yes. Like, for example, Tully earlier in the movie opens Gone with the Wind. And it's just a gust of wind comes out and hits him in the face. They all have some kind of magical hoodwinking going on. So Fester pulls out a book called something Hurricane, and you can guess what happens.
It creates a hurricane.
Ooh. So Fester actually gets struck by lightning, which just so happens to magically return
his memory
to him, which, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if that actually is a thing that works, but like, hey, movie magic, kids.
Yeah, it's fine.
But it also kind of gusts Abigail and Tully out of the house into two perfectly dug open graves constructed by none other than the two darling children, Pugsley and Wednesday. And they say a cute little line here, I think, where Pugsley...
Yeah, Pugsley's like, are they dead? Wednesday's like, who cares?
Does it matter? It's fine. After everything is all said and done, we kind of cut to our little epilogue 7 months later at Halloween. And... you know, the family is all back together again. Fester is truly Fester now. The family all goes out into the cemetery in the backyard to play a game called Wake the Dead together, where they just go around to all the different graves in the cemetery and just, like, hang out with the dead people, with their dead ancestors. That's fun. That's a normal Halloween game that one plays. And then the movie ends off with a cute little moment between Gomez and Morticia, where Gomez is like, ah, cara mia,
yeah.
Our life is so wonderful, who could ask for anything more? And Morticia's like, well, guess what, bitch, I'm preggers. And yeah, that's the movie. And then they make out lustfully with while their family runs around in the cemetery, and MC Hammer starts playing over the end credits, and that's the movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The movie is a lot of fun, and especially now during spooky season, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's definitely a movie where you can get into the environment of spookiness and just kind of feel the vibes.
Does the mystery with Fester feel a little, like, wonky at times?
Yeah, sure, sure.
But you know what? In the end, Christopher Lloyd gives a good performance. Raul Julia and Angelica Houston give great performances.
Yeah, I mean, could you have done this movie where you just have Fester come back into their lives and, you know, just basically have the same story without, you know, fucking, like, the memory aspect of it and, like, you know, because the mystery of the movie is pretty obvious from the beginning, but, like, nothing really happens in the movie that is like a shock or a twist. Like, you don't need that. It's really not about that. Primarily, I would say it's a movie just about, like, creepy vibes, spooky vibes, fun vibes. It's a fun family picture, fun for the whole gang, and the lustful vibes between Morticia and Gomez.
When we have kids, can we sit down and watch Addams Family with our kids?
Sure.
Yeah. And it's a fun little movie.
Yeah, when they make references to Morticia and Gomez being into BDSM. Will we kind of gloss over that if the children ask? Sure. You know, there's a certain age where people can learn about that and not be weirded out. And that's not a child's age. But luckily, those are the kind of adult jokes that are in movies that can go right over a child's head.
And be fine for us.
Yeah. I feel like if we were the type of couple that were into like dressing up and doing couples costumes, I feel like Morticia and Gomez would be a dope ass couples costume.
Oh, indeed.
That we would love to do just to channel the great marital bliss that is Morticia and Gomez Adams.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like this movie, again, is just a great family Halloween movie. But also it like gives you a good message about like just being your fucking self and not giving a shit what people think about you.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Well, yeah, because no matter where you go in life, somebody will think you're weird.
Yeah, true.
So just fuck it and be who you are.
Indeed.
I was having a hard time what I wanted to rate the Addams Family. I was stuck between a 3.5 and a 4. Like I was going back and forth. I'm still kind of really going back and forth. Right now, I have it as a 4 out of 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have it as a 3.5 out of 5. I think it's a solid Halloween movie. I feel like, it's, you know, if you watch it during October in the right vibe, the right mood, you get into it. You know, is the story sometimes a little convoluted? Sure. But I think the heart of it is what really matters, and it's just a fun time. And you don't have to, like, read too much into it to, like, get into it and just have a good time. Turn your brain off kind of thing. Really enjoy the acting and the performances and the funny writing. And, yeah, just dig it, man. Morticia Addams is an icon, as is Gomez.
Indeed.
Morticia and Gomez forever.
Forever and ever. Always.
Rest in peace, Raul Julia, also.
Yes.
Because he fucking killed this, for sure.
He did.
They all pretty much killed it.
I do wonder if he had not passed, if we would have gotten more Adams Family.
Not even just Adams Family. Group. I think it would have been really great to see what more he could have gave us in general.
Well, yeah, I know. But like, we got a second movie with him. Would we have gotten like a...
Well, I think they did a third movie that did not do well with Tim Curry. And I think Angelica Houston was replaced. They pretty much replaced everybody except for Lurch. So it did really bad, according to Letterboxd, when I looked it up. Now, next week, we are sadly ending Spoopy Month. It's our last movie of Spoopy Month. But never fear, we'll still be here after. But next week's our last movie. I put a poll up at the beginning of the month trying to figure out what movie I was going to pick because I was stuck between two. I did eventually just decide on my own because you guys didn't help me at all. It was literally a 50-50 vote and I got a lot of votes. I was like really happy about that because it made me feel good and nice. And so I appreciate everybody that voted on Instagram.
Oh, did I tell you the Twitter poll also was 50-50?
Oh, did it? Oh, jeez. You guys, you're killing me. But ultimately, I figured it out, so I'm going to let you know not right now. Haha, next week. But until then, this has been Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Gomez.
Oh, I want to be Frankie Morticia Addams.
Okay, that's fine.
Frankisha Addams. That's what I am, damn it.
There we go.
I'll just be Angelica Houston. I'm Angelica Houston. And make sure you check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Shoot the Flick. And check out all of our episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. And make sure you come back next week for our mysterious, democratically not chosen movie adventure.
Ba-da-da-da.
Da-da.
Ba-da-da-da.
I'm not.
Ba-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da.
Great at snapping my fingers.